The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
So proud to have Dr. Jerome Corsi back on. Gosh, I haven't talked to you. You know, doctor, I think it's been a couple of years at least since we last had a conversation. And then I got a note from some people involved with you. And I said, gosh, you know, I haven't talked to him forever. And I don't know what happened, why we sort of fell out of touch for whatever reason. But I know you have a foundation that you're working on now, godsfivestones.com. I was wondering if you'd tell us a little bit about that. And you've been writing on Substack. You've been writing all over the place. And of course, talking about foreign policy, especially with the Biden administration right now, how it could be affecting Trump. So what have you been up to? Give us a thumbnail sketch here before we move forward. Huh?
Well, Bill, it's been interesting few years. I mean, I was very involved in 2016 with Donald Trump's campaign, working with Roger Stone. I got involved in the Russian collusion Mueller investigation. They wanted to put me in prison.
I remember they went after you, and you managed to defy that, and nothing happened to you ultimately, right?
They wanted me. They said they were going to bring me before a jury in Washington that would hate me, and they put me in prison the rest of my life. Or I could take a plea deal and said I knew Assange and connected him to the Trump campaign, and then they'd be very lenient with me. I'd have to plead guilty. I told them I could not bear the idea of swearing to a lie before a judge and God to keep myself out of prison. So I refused the plea deal and told them they better get the prison ready for me because I was willing to go. I wouldn't take their plea deal, and they never indicted me. They closed the Mueller investigation. If I had taken that plea deal, they would have had the evidence they needed to have Russian collusion against Donald Trump. And I've had conversations with Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump and I. You know, Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani credited me with ending the Mueller investigation. And then my wife wanted me to get out of politics. And after January 6th, I decided to get out of politics for a while. And then
I could understand, given that you were almost put in prison over politics. I get it.
Well, and also, my wife was desperate to have me quit. She didn't want the FBI parked outside the house again. And I complied with her wishes. Well, we'd been married after 32 years of marriage. She had an affair and divorced me 2 years ago.
Oh.
And with that divorce is still going on. Well, God took her out of my life, I guess, and put me back to work. I'd been faithful to her for 32 years, and I couldn't believe that she was doing this. But
a lot of people standing up for truth, though, have been paying very heavy prices the last few years. You'd have to agree on that. You were one of them.
Oh, I agree. I'm one of them, and I had to stay true to my faith and to my belief in Jesus Christ and to my fighting this evil, and I do believe it's evil. So I've been very involved. I'm going to be redoing all my podcasts again. But God's Five Stone is G-O-D, no apostrophe, the S. You spell out five, F-I-V-E. And it's stones is plural. So godsfivestones.com is a 501c3. And it's devoted to exposing the algorithms, which we've found embedded is the cryptographic formulas in the State Board of Election voter registration files. They're in the computers. I think it's intelligence agencies have decided to run our elections. And these are very complex schemes, and they permit the creation of falsified voters, duplicates, clones, dead people, all kinds of records that are not real voters. It's like a card marking scheme. They are able to get these to be not recognizable. They get legitimate state IDs. So they hide them back in the database. And when they need to, they need 30,000 votes to win an election. Well, let's pull out 30,000 of our fake voters and vote them with mail-in ballots. Of course, we don't mail them to anybody because those people don't exist. The computer does it. The computer says they wanted a mail-in vote. They print it out, run it through the tabulation machine, and now you've got a certifiable number in the computer that registered and wanted a mail-in ballot that was printed and voted. If you don't do a physical inspection of the mail-in ballots, which the states don't let you do, if they were they printed, were they mailed, were they, do they show signs of postmark? Does anybody go out and see if these people really exist? And so they stopped the counting, and then, you know, it's still going on. You know, we just had a heat flip to the Democrats after, you know, this a month after the election was held, and they just finally produced enough votes for the Democrat to win. So we are being credited internationally with having, because we exposed this, and we got donations to expose it. We found the algorithms in four of the battleground states in Georgia.
And you see, I think that's an important distinction, Dr. Corsi, because you'll always hear people go on the news shows and they'll talk about, well, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. Well, there doesn't have to be widespread voter fraud in a national election. There just has to be widespread fraud in some key locations. Would that be a fair way of looking at it? That's the way it's done?
It is, except we're finding the algorithms in every state we're looking at. And we're finding, for instance, Wisconsin has 7,000 voter records. They've got 7 million voter records, and they've got 2 million clones, duplicate records for the same voter with different IDs. Well, that's illegal. So I'm saying, who put these systems there? How have they been used? If some of these algorithms have been in the state databases since 2004, 2007, I mean, how many congressional elections were won by the algorithms and not by the voters? I mean, I don't know.
Well, what kind of role do you think may have been looking here? You know, we had one way of looking at the national elections, especially when it comes to the balance of power in Congress right now. And it's amazing, as the count went on, the Democrats kept taking more and more seats. And now what looked to be a pretty sizable Republican majority has magically, mysteriously been whittled down to 220 to 215, which means essentially deadlocked, because there are a whole ton of cross-dressing rhino, mealy-mouthed Republicans, you know, in Congress elected right now. Isn't that really what we're looking at right now, essentially?
Well, God's Five Stones is going to stay open.
Uh-huh.
And we're starting to raise another round of donations. We've been contacted by the Trump attorneys, and we're now providing our information to their legal cases, and we will soon, when Kash Patel takes over the Department of Justice, we'll be giving all of our information to him to pursue election fraud investigations.
Oh.
Because we need to find out how these were used. There's a huge amount of information on God's Five Stones, G-O-D, no apostrophe S. You spell out the word five, F-I-V-E.
Yep. I'll put that link up.
Plural.com.
Yeah, godsfivestones.com. There is so much there, we can't even begin to scratch it, but I wanted to make sure people understood what your main purpose, what you've been doing here lately, has been all about.
I think we are going to be able to show that the intelligence agencies, these are intelligence agencies, they've been rigging elections internationally, and we see this pattern all over the world. So in the EU election for the parliament, they have two ballots. First ballot, the conservatives win. Second ballot, they say, oh, the left surged, the left woke up, and we suddenly have the left winning. And I call up Italy and France and say, are there people at the polls surging? They say, no, Dr. Corsi, there's nobody at the polls. The surge is occurring in the computers. And so these algorithms, the key is not just to produce mail-in ballots. They have to be certifiable. So they have to have legitimate state IDs, even though the voters don't exist. And that was Andrew Paquette, a computer genius, who figured this out. First did it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like breaking a code. It's genius work. An attorney in Ohio, Thomas Connors, from the Mendenhall firm in Akron, was working with some of the people who were doing election fraud. He said, I've got this paper from Andrew Paquette, and it's too complicated for me. It's advanced math, and he sent it to me. It took me a month. I said, Tom, it's 100% correct. Ted has done genius work, and he's cracked a code, like breaking, the Enigma machine. We've broken the Enigma machine of how I think the Democrats have been operating for a long time. At least I suspect that.
Now, this also would tend to indicate that Democrats control the intelligence agency. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think, ultimately, ultimately, I think it's been this New World Order crowd. I think they've been, I've written three books. I wrote The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change, and exposed the climate fraud. I wrote a book called The Truth About Neo-Marxism, Cultural Maoism, and Anarchy. I think the woke neo-Marxists, which have taken over the Democratic Party, are transitional to the New World Order crowd, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, who want to be the self-appointed elite and run everything with their machines, and they don't need us. They want their depopulationists. And so, therefore, I think we're exposing here a grand scheme. And maybe we can put this evil idea, you know, one world government to rest. So it is just get the bankers and the warmongers wanting to make money, having perpetual wars and destroying the middle class and killing people. Few people realize in the 1970s, Henry Kissinger signed a national security memorandum number 200 that made global depopulation the official U.S. policy.
And what better way to depopulate the world if that's official policy than to have splendid little wars now and then, right?
Perpetual war.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then to cheat with the election so you get people in place that you want to agree with this ideology. The neo-Marxist woke will be the first to go because the Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab won't want any more criticism once they take over. These people are just anarchists. So I've done a lot of work on this. And as I say, I think God put me back to work when my wife left me. And so therefore, I've been actually more active now than ever.
That's interesting. Dr. Jerome Corsi, once again, godsfivestones.com is the website. I will put all that information up. Before we take off, I wanted to talk about an article that you wrote recently on the American Thinker, and had to do with Biden giving permission to Zelensky to use those missiles to go into Russia. Now, I know that happened a couple of weeks ago, and there's been the pardon and everything else that's going on. But is how much of a fuse lighting is this, or is it just about maybe getting Ukraine in a better negotiating position? How do you see that, Doctor?
I think Tucker Carlson picked up on this. Tucker Carlson also picked up. I've been working with Archbishop Vigano, and he picked up on a message I asked the Archbishop to write to Catholic voters to vote for Donald Trump. And Tucker picked up on that. Tucker's in Russia right now. And what he's exposing is what I wrote in that article, which is that, in fact, according to Russian nuclear policy, if a non-nuclear state uses the weapons of a nuclear state to attack Russia, Russia considers itself at war with a nuclear state. We are right now, as far as the Russians are concerned, in a hot war with Russia, which is very close to going nuclear.
Do you believe, though, that Putin will hold any hard reprisal to what Biden has done until after President Trump is in office? How do you see that?
Well, I think great efforts are being made. I'm continuously making them. I'm very pleased to see Tucker in, and he's going to do an interview with the Russian foreign minister, and we're making great efforts to try to say to everybody that, you know, the Biden mad, insane criminals want to go to nuclear war. NATO wants to go to nuclear war.
Hmm.
Woodward just wrote a book on this saying that we were right on the edge of nuclear war with the Biden administration. I've been writing about this and worried about this for 2 years. This is where they were headed with Ukraine.
But yeah, I think most people, most people, though, Dr. Corsi, are thinking, though, that just sounds so insane. Our own people couldn't possibly be, not even Joe could be going in that direction. What would you say to that?
They're not reading what Putin is saying. Putin is saying, I'm going to use nuclear weapons if this continues. And if you start attacking us with Russia, into Russia with U.S. weapons fired by U.S. soldiers, it's going to be Russia v. the United States in a nuclear war. He said this. He had Medvedev back channel try to, Blinken cut off all back channels to Russia. And Tucker's going to expose this. Hmm. When Tucker reads this interview, you're going to see how that article was right. And we are on the edge of nuclear war right now with these insane. The Democratic Party is transitioned into a Communist Party. really a communist party today, is transitioning into a traitor's party. And they've embraced depopulation. They think nuclear war would be just fine, get rid of billions of people. They think they'd survive. It's insane.
Well, yeah, we'd have a lower carbon footprint. Of course, that pesky, you know, radiation might be a problem, but I digress.
Well, I mean, these people produce pandemics that are bad flus and vaccines that don't stop you from getting the disease but could kill you. These people are evil. It's satanic. It's why I combined with Archbishop Vigano. It's satanic. And Satan does not rule here. God rules here. So God in the end will win. But I think what Tucker's doing now, what I've been doing in writing about this in American Thinker, have had their impact. And I believe Putin, I've had Putin through, they've reached out to me. I have not gotten in direct contact with Putin. But when I want to communicate something, I write an article in the American Thinker for everybody to read. But I'm encouraging that we need to settle with certain geopolitical realities here. And these two provinces that Putin has occupied, Putin is right, have been Russian speaking for 1,000 years. They're going to stay Russian thinking, speaking, and they're not going back. They're not going back to NATO. NATO was set up after World War II to be a defensive alliance. If NATO wants to send NATO troops in and NATO weapons in, NATO wants to become offensive, start World War III, we don't need to be part of NATO. We did not create NATO to be an offensive organization going to war with Russia. It was to protect Western Europe after World War II, when the Soviet Union occupied Hungary, Poland, Czechoslovakia. We didn't want it expanding into Germany, France, and the UK.
Well, it would appear that there has certainly been a redefinition or redefining of NATO's mission over the last 15, 20 years from the looks of it.
Yeah, we don't need to be in an offensive nuclear armed treaty. Ever since the Democrats have loved Russia since 1917. They've been in love with communism. Okay, and Berlin Wall fell, and Russia renounced communism. And since then, the Democrats have hated Russia and wanted to go to war with it. You see this in the Maidan Rebellion, which Soros and the State Department created, in Hillary Clinton with her foundation taking money from Pinochet, a Russian oligarch, starting in 2013, and lying about it. Their State Department tried to impeach President Trump because he wouldn't go along with their aggressive mission of expanding NATO to the border of Russia. We have 35 CIA stations on the border with Russia in Ukraine and a Wuhan-like lab.
But do you think, though, that Russia is no threat to the West? That there are because I talked with Joel Skousen. I don't know if you've ever talked with him at all over at World Affairs Brief, and he's been making the case for a long time. In fact, I talked to him last week that the fall of Russia was just a fake job, and that that ultimately there is still a push for Russian expansion.
I'm sure there's elements in Russia that want to reestablish Russian Federation in its height. But I think these are not the dominant factors in Russia. I believe in what Ronald Reagan argued, and that is peace through strength. We have to maintain strength, but we do not need to aim to cause World War III. Russia has not invaded France and Germany and Hungary and Czechoslovakia. They want these two Russian provinces. And the truth is, Western Ukraine, Poroshenko, and Zelensky are closely aligned with Germany. They were Nazi Germany. Well, they did not get prosecuted. They were Nazis in World War II. They didn't get prosecuted in the Nuremberg trials. That was Alan Dulles made sure of that, and the CIA. And secondly, neo-Nazi brigades exist in Western Europe, and Zelensky was sending them in to these two provinces in Eastern Europe, and they were killing people who wanted these two provinces to be independent states. And they were attacking the Russian Orthodox Church. And Putin is Russian Orthodox. He's very religious. And he wanted to defend these Russian provinces. And he was sick of it. And that's not been reported. But it's the truth.
Dr. Jerome Corsi, we appreciate you coming on, and we will have you back. I know it's been a couple of years or so since we last talked, and it sounds like you have a lot going on over there at God's Five Stones, godsfivestones.com. I'll be really curious with Cash Patelian at FBI what he could do with the information you and other people, truth tellers, when it comes to election integrity issues might be able to bring to bear here over time. Thank you so much, and we'll put your information up, and we'll have you back. Thanks, Doc. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be back in touch with you. God bless.
Indeed. God bless. We need the blessings, that's for sure. 733 on KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well.
You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Pure talk.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
736. Had to talk to State Senator Linthicum for a little while, ever since the loss over at, the Secretary of State, race. Disappointing. Of course, none of the statewide Republican races ended up going for the GOP. It was a rough time. We'll have a little talk about that and maybe what we can expect in this upcoming special session that the governor wants to go and a bunch of other things. So we'll kick it around with him in just a moment. Some emails of the day. That's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com, which is on Freeman Way, just south of the, well, just right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. You can head over there. It's real easy. It's not too far from Albertsons. It's in that neighborhood. Okay. And while you wait, Crown's a specialty there because they have an in-house lab. Great people. I think you'll enjoy the experience. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Randy writes me this morning, Bill, choose battles wisely. Brandon's pardoning his son stirred a hornet's nest. Interestingly, the hornets are aiming at him. My guess is that Joe made that decision on his own. A line from an act from which I was in front of House engineer 50 years ago, referring to the character 10 guys. One guy couldn't be that stupid, but Brandon is. You think he's stupid? I don't know. I'm ready. We may have to agree to disagree on this one because I'm thinking ultimately this only works if there are a lot of Biden pardons, everything around Burisma and all the rest. And watch for that over the next few weeks. I have a feeling they're just going to be copying this broad pardon given to Brandon's son and giving it to a bunch of other Brandon cronies. Okay, there we go. Jerry weighing in, and this is kind of an appropriate email to talk about, given I was just talking with Dr. Jerome Corsi about Russia, what's going on there with Russia, Putin, and elsewhere. Bill, I saw a recent video of Russian President Putin admitting in public that the Soviet collapse was arranged. This was after your interview with Joel Skousen last week. When Joel spoke about this on your show recently, it wasn't a surprise to me, but a female guest or caller to your show several years ago stated that Gorbachev had a deal in place before the Soviet Union collapsed. I hope you'll have Mr. Skousen back on your show again. He seemed to believe that Russia and China would attack America with nuclear weapons sometime in the future. Why does he believe that? In short, I'd like to know his worldview. What does he foresee happening in the future, and how do we prepare for it? He did say he believes Trump may give us additional time to prepare. But I don't know if that means living in an underground bunker in South Dakota or in a remote location in a foreign country or just staying where we are and preparing for an emergency. Jerry, if you go to worldaffairsbrief.com, you can get a free sample. You can kind of see where he's coming from. And I think that will give you some access to the website where he talks about some of these conspiracy issues that he discussed briefly on my show. Ultimately, I think he thinks that World War is eventually baked in the cake for us. And the issue is to prepare for, and you prepare for potentially hard times. And that's where he's going. He's not talking about, you leaving to a foreign country necessarily, but that we have a duty to prepare our families for the potential of hard times in war. And I hope that doesn't happen, but you prepare for the worst and you hope you never have to use it and you still have the supplies, right? Maybe that's the way to look at it, okay? But World Affairs Brief is where you can find out more about that. In fact, you can even email him. I think it's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and he'll write back to you, okay? 20 before 8, we'll catch up on the rest of the news, and State Senator Linthicum, we'll talk with him here in just a minute, too.
Remember when you began a do-it-yourself project and you wish you had a neighbor that knew how to actually...
Hi, I'm Charlene, owner of American Industrial Door, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
743 and State Senator Dennis Linthicum. We appreciate you coming back on the program. Election didn't go the way we thought, well, at least the way we were praying it was going to go, right, Dennis? Welcome back to the show. Good to have you on.
Right. It's interesting to come onto a show. You know, I sincerely thought with Trump on the ballot, this would be a great year to run. And the three statewide offices, the attorney general, the treasurer's office, and the secretary of state had fantastic candidates, if I'm not, caught in the bragging, scandal. Well, there were three fantastic candidates. They all received about the same numbers. And it's just part of the machinery of an all-blue Democrat state. The single-party rule is the biggest issue that we face. And so in the upcoming session, I will not be a senator, but my hope and my prayer and my counsel would be for Republicans not to go along because the so-called media thinks it looks good, but only do those things that are profitable, only those things that actually help people, help the public, and not just throw money to the wind, which looks like the Democrat majority might possibly do. So it will certainly be an interesting upcoming session. How do we get out of this this mess that supposedly voters have put us into? But I don't buy that either. So based on Jerome Corsi's concept, and he didn't look at Oregon that I know of. He was looking at Ohio and Pennsylvania and those kinds of, marker states. And Oregon may be similar or not. The extra 8 days of counting is what makes the difference. Tracy Kramer was ahead.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how the Republicans are ahead and then, well, 6, 7, 8 days later, oh, look at these mail-in ballots. And, of course, we're just supposed to trust all of that's on the up and up, I guess.
Yeah, and it's incredible of the late day after election day counting, all of these ballots are coming through. And I've written about this before. People can look at my newsletters or look for 3291 and just read the bill. It says there's several lines of, legalese, and one of them says, all ballots must be postmarked. So the media tells everybody all ballots must be postmarked.
But that doesn't happen in real life, does it?
Well, then 3 lines later, it says, and this, if the ballot has a postmark that is illegible, and you can realize they're making, corrections for illegibility, or not present, in other words, it's not even there. It doesn't exist. The ballot may be counted.
Well, there you go into what Jerome Corsi was just talking about, in which you could, if you had bad operators. I'm not saying that we did in Oregon, but that's a exception or a loophole that is wide enough to drive all sorts of ballot fraud through in Oregon. You can manufacture ballots. Doesn't matter if they have postmark or not, right?
That's right. So how many ballots did it take to defeat Tracy Kramer? Less than 500?
Yeah.
And boom. And all of a sudden, she loses her seat. We lose the protection against a super majority in the House, and we become super minority in both the House and the Senate. And the Democrats don't need us for anything. And my advice would be to avoid your language, lily-livered, cross-dressing, et cetera, et cetera.
What I consider the political cross-dressers, the mushier Republicans. See, we're always told that the way to get more Republicans in office is, well, you just have to get more Republicans in office. But if you have more Republicans in office and all their desire is to help Democrats enact communism, what's the point of having an R next to your name is the way we would tend to look at that. Okay, Dennis, there we go.
Yeah, and I think that's a real problem. People want to be popular. You want to be popular. You want your radio show to be popular. I want to be popular. I want people to read my newsletters. If I say something that's too honest, too hard-hitting, too truthful, do they go, oh, this guy's a nut, I'm not going to listen to him anymore? Or do they say, you know what, he's making good sense. This is common sense. Men are men, women are women, and COVID was a fraud, you know? And can we not make those arguments without getting the censorship put down on our heads?
Yeah. One of the biggest disappointments of you not being Secretary of State, incoming Secretary of State, is that I would imagine that the winner of that election is going to be continuing the, what is it, that disinformation, state spying on
MDM,
the voters kind of thing?
Misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. And this is part of the process of ideological capture, where the only way the state can win is by continuing to influence the public mind. Whether it's look at our green forests, our good air today, no stagnation today, and you know, weather is looking nice today, and to claim those are all the result of government policy. It's the Department of Forestry. It's the Department of Clean Air.
No, it's the DEQ. The DEQ's fault, Dennis. You know that.
Right. Yeah. And so now the bureaucrats who have long abused the public trust and have violated all of the principles of equality, liberty, fair play, and are hypocrites at large, those bureaucrats are running the game and continue the, you know, like the Secretary of State's office had this little cartoon puppet. You know, I can't even remember the stupid puppet's name.
I can. Blobby. Blobby. All right. It was Blobby that came out of the Secretary of State. Yes.
Yeah. And they create these things, and it's to make people smile and to surrender their essentially their understanding of appropriateness, right, wrong, and become somewhat indifferent. Oh, it's cute. Nothing the Secretary of State's office does or the governor does should be viewed as cute. All of these things are fundamental to the prosperity and well-being of the public at large, and so should be viewed with at least through skeptical.
Well, you know, trying to dumb down the populace into thinking that that voting in your state election is akin to voting for student council in junior high. Okay, you know, I mean,
right.
That's kind of the idiocracy that it sort of descends to. And Blobby, I do find it interesting, though, that given that the Democratic blob is in control here, I think Blobby was actually an appropriate name for the puppet coming out of that. Kind of like the D.C. blob. We all know about the D.C. Foreign policy blob.
You know, and in the Steve McQueen movie, The Blob, we picked it up and put it in Antarctica so that it'd freeze and wouldn't continue crawling around in the neighborhood. Yeah, I'm sure you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe that's where Blobby is right now. And they Secretary of State's office got rid of it. But all right, being that was said, though, what do you think is the future, though, for trying to get Republicans to be able to win a statewide election? And I know that Senator Boqvist, of course, was running for state treasurer. He was kind of making this case. And frankly, I think he's full of it. I like Brian, but I think he was wrong when he was talking about, well, you know, I was reaching out and I got these voters that were different than what the other two guys were doing. He said something like that recently. I think what made the difference for him and got him closer was that he had a Pacific Green Party candidate in that treasurer vote. And of course, that's why he got so much closer than everybody else to winning. All right.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. He had a stronger, more well-rounded third party candidate. And that third party candidate drained those votes out of Steiner's, checkbox. And they went over there because there is somebody more left than Steiner. And it's hard to imagine, but nevertheless, they were there on the ballot. And so that person took a bunch of votes away from Steiner, but all of us lost by the same amount. I mean, none of us got to a million votes.
Yeah, I think part of this, though, is that especially – well, I want to say the state treasurer, though, if you mind me interjecting, the state treasurer's position I think is viewed in a less of an ideological lens. Would that be fair to say when contrasted with the attorney general? Attorney general, very politically active in the state of Oregon, and the secretary of state, a big political deal in the state of Oregon because of the control of the election process. And I think there's more focus on that. I think that that's also benefiting.
I think, you know, that's right. And I think that's why the single party Democrat majority put all their eggs into making sure they kept these three statewide offices, mm-hmm. because these three statewide offices are crucial to keeping the Democrat enigma alive. You don't ever have anybody doing providing accurate and timely treasurer reports or doing attorney general criminal or civil investigations or the secretary of state writing ballot measures and titling those things and narrating the pro and con in a way that would be meaningful to the Republican or conservative ideals.
Well, what do you think, then? Should the strategy then, Senator, be to start investing in more Pacific Green candidates or whoever could be the bleeder? You know, in other words, no, honestly, you know, where you start, because sending money to the Oregon Republican Party to come out there and say, hey, you need more political cross-dressers in Salem is not going to help win a statewide election. Okay.
Yeah. All right? See, you would be a good, you would be a good counterinsurgency general where you're not, you know, fighting for the insurgency, you're fighting to counter the insurgency.
Well, this is like what Herman was doing with Betsy Johnson. That was the attempt of getting in Christine Drazen. You know,
well, yeah,
the same process.
That worked,
it
right?
Didn't, unfortunately, though. But maybe if you instead of investing in another Democrat, you invest in Pacific Greens, you build Pacific Greens out, and then they cause heartburn for the Democrats. How about it? What do you think?
Far be it for me to, you know, encourage the communist Pacific Greens, the working family party members.
Yeah, I know, but you get it, though. The enemy of my enemy could be my friend when it comes to a statewide election in the future.
Yeah, I guess I'm not that, I'm a little too forthright to go down that avenue, but I see your logic. Your logic is, you know, fine, and I recognize it, and I see it, and I understand it. It just seems like if we should be able to win on the facts. The facts.
Yeah, I get it. Dennis, you talk about the facts, that's great, but here's the problem. Voting is an emotional act for most people.
Let's stir their emotion towards truth, goodness, mercy, beauty.
Okay.
You know, because we're this road and nobody believes in truth anymore. It's, oh, that's your opinion. And then so all the newscasters, look at legacy media, all the newscasters are doing opinion pieces. They're not telling you one thing rarely are they telling you anything that is factual. They're smoking the entire scene that you're viewing with this enigma that says, you know, Trump's a bad guy. Kamala's a great gal. We should be voting for Kamala. Look at the polls, they tell us. Look at the polls. Look at the COVID numbers. You'll kill grandma if you visit grandma. And they go through all of these things. Look at the Daniel Penny thing. Daniel Penny was a trained killer. And that's why they're presenting that data. He's simply a veteran, and they're going to slay him as a trained killer, an ice cold-blooded killer. And this is coming from media. It is not coming from the public mind. Nobody sat down and read the original story about Daniel Penny and walked away with that impression of this young man who defended the other members who were riding on that tram.
Yeah, the media cannot be hated enough, unfortunately. Now, I'm a media member, but at least I'm honest about my bias, okay? I make no bones about that. I'm biased, but but I explained, I'm biased, but I'll talk to the other side. You can convince me otherwise that my bias is wrong. They, on the other hand, will tend to say that, oh, we're just right down the middle, and yet all it is hiding communism, all right? Dennis, before we take off, you're going to have a special session. Governor Kotek has called a special session, and this is supposedly to pay off ODF. Now, you're still going to be senator. Next year, you're going to be chief of staff for Dianne, Senator Dianne Linthicum, correct? That's what's going to happen next year.
Right.
So the team is still together, okay? We just have to make sure we understand that, and that's good. That's good for the folks in the Klamath Falls area. Now then, this ODF deal to pay off the wildfire costs, what are your thoughts about gathering together in a special session to do this? Any thoughts
on think this? Special sessions are always dangerous because the governor can call a special session or we can initiate a special session and say it's for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can quickly, you know, move to that thing.
Well, what is the danger here that you think could be coming in this special session? Because they're claiming it's about paying for ODF's wildfire fighting costs.
Right. I was just setting the stage.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Special sessions have never been a favorite methodology for me. I don't think the Democrats will do this because they've got super majorities in both houses and they can just create all kinds of, enigma around. Look at how good they were, how controlled they were under the special session.
Mm.
This long session will be nice and peaceful and well controlled and will be reasonable. And there'll be anything but. So what's interesting about the request is it looks like they're trying to, you know, raise $220 million to pay off ODF's bills. But this bill's submission by ODF is somewhere closer to $100 million, with the state fire marshal's office being somewhere near $5 million. And so that doesn't add up. This is a big chunk of money, and I'm wondering, where are they going to take that money? Why did they inflate this? Well, we were on a phone in a conference call, a caucus call. The number was $175 million at the beginning of the caucus call, and by the time the caucus call was over, we had received another bit of information that said it was $220 million. And so in the span of 20 minutes on the telephone, the number's going up by tens of millions of dollars. And it makes you wonder, well, where is all of this coming from? How much fraud and abuse and misdirection is happening here?
Yeah, I would be very suspicious when you hear about them that they want to call a special session, but they can't even agree on how much is owed. That's a problem.
That's what I think.
That's just something that you call up and say, how much do we owe? How much haven't we paid? Okay, well, here's the bills. Okay, well, that's what we got to pay.
Right. And they keep sending out the spreadsheet kind of summary pages and whatever. It's like, show me the ledger, right? You know, show me the source documentation. Don't give me your summary, your guesstimated summary. And it's always a round number, $220 million or $175 million. That's nonsense. If we have outstanding bills, it should come to, you know, like when I did a request for ballot images in 2020, the bill was $982,876.17. They knew exactly how much it was going to cost me to get that public information. And the forestry department is capable of producing information with that level of precision.
Yeah, but everything that we're being told in this special session, well, we just got some nice round numbers. Well, it's about this many hundreds of millions. Just go ahead and give us the money, and we'll figure it out. Okay. All right, Dennis.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be in touch with you during this session. When's that session going to be again? When's it called for?
It's either the 12th or the 13th.
Okay, so we got another week.
I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Another week before the attempted fraud goes. Okay.
Right.
Stay in touch with us, okay? All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
State Senator Dennis Linthicum. It is 3 after 8 at KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Another phone number I want you to remember, though, is a big money-saving number, and that would be our friends over at Sky Park Insurance. Well, I could have even talked about the wildfire insurance issue there with Dennis, but be that as it may, Maybe you've had a problem with cancellation, or you've had your rates triple, or they're screwing you over on car insurance or other home insurance or business or life or whatever. Talk to Steve Yancey at 261-5444. Have him go to work, get a quote, and see what he can do for you. He's worked really well for me and a lot of other KMED, KBXG listeners. And Lynn Barton is now there, and she's working the side for Medicare Advantage and supplement programs. And it's very complex, a lot of new rules, can be really confusing. And Lynn makes that side of it very easy and understandable. Good public service. All right, call her at 499-0958. 499-0958. If you ever need their numbers, just call me or just email me, bill@billmeyershow.com. Their website, by the way, skyparkins.com, Skypark Insurance.